punk and the schooner, no one is punk. Can the schooner, no one is punk and the schooner, no one is punk and the schooner.
Gad, show number 52 of Noise Punk and Das Crooner. I am Das Crooner Gene. Who are you?
Yo, I'm Noise Punk. Yo, right here. Noise Punk and Das Crooner. It's like a morning. It's like 12 o'clock in the motherfucking afternoon. What? It's like afternoon. It's really early. We're not drunk. So it's going to be a different show.
But we were.
But Charles was most of his life. And we have a very special guest today. Our special guest today is composer, keyboardist, electronic music extraordinaire, Patrick Grant.
Hi, everybody.
There he is. That's Patrick.
That's right. He's got,
the whole world.
It is hands.
Stop singing, Charles. Yes. Okay. We've known Patrick for a while. We've known each other through reputation, I think, a little longer than. But now we've been.
Forget about that part.
Let's forget about that. Yeah.
The lawsuit is still pending.
What does that mean? Anyway, but we've been doing things together, including some concerts that are coming up, which we will plug the hell out of on the show until you will either come to the concert or never hear us again. But I think the first thing we should get, let's get it right out of the way, Charles, ask your famous question by Das Crooner.
Yeah, really famous. What got you started in this crazy world of artistic music, etc.?
Combination of A Clockwork Orange and...
Oh, my God.
Bugs Bunny cartoons.
Wow, that is brilliant. So how'd it feel like raping that girl in the movie?
What the hell are you talking about?
In Clockwork Orange, a woman gets raped while he's...
How many times did you see that scene, Charles?
Next question.
Over and over.
No. During when he's singing, I'm singing in the rain, and this girl's being raped.
I think it's a commit. I think you saw Bugs Bunny being raped.
See, ultimately, the story of A Clockwork Orange is that, stripped of choice,
yes,
is a man really good? If you can't choose between good and evil. Yeah. But.
Yes, officer, I didn't do it.
When Clockwork Orange first came out, it was rated X.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah?
Just like, well, when they invented the rating system, it was meant for adult films, like Midnight Cowboy, Last Tango in Paris.
Right.
Until the porn industry abused that by saying, well, we're triple X.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. And so a year after its release, it got re-released as an R film. And because it was an R film, they could show commercials for it on TV. And all of a sudden, I'm like 11 years old, and all of a sudden I hear this music. Hmm. And I'm like, what the hell is that? It just caught my ear.
Well, what was the music?
And it turned out, I shoveled snow like a madman that February. And it was the first album I went out and bought for myself. And when I got the album, I'm hop, skipping, and jumping all over the album. It's like, it's all this classical stuff.
Sort of.
But then I noticed that it turned out to be the music I heard on the commercial was the march section from the fourth movement of Beethoven's Ninth, as played by Wendy, then Walter Carlos, on the Moog synthesizer. And up until then, I was like the best drawer in school. I was all visual arts and drawing, like, and everything. And I played instruments at home because my dad got me like chord organs, and he had all his buddies coming over with guitars and banjos having jamborees all the time. But then I thought, this is what I want to do. So from there, that turned into, 11 years old, electronic stuff, that's great. So then I got switched on Bach, and then I started taking violin and viola in school, and I started taking piano lessons and started composing right away. And that steered me into all, the real acoustic stuff. And I had some really great teachers who let me... get my compositions performed, since I was like 14.
A Clockwork Orange, a direct influence to the sound world of Patrick Grant.
But I always like to say too, and also probably a strong relationship between my music when it's used with some kind of visual medium,
Mm-hmm, sure.
Yeah, there's always a strong graphic sense, or there's something conceptual about everything I'm trying to do, including this upcoming show. H2 Opus. Which is going to be H2 Dopus if you show up on June 21st, part of a citywide event.
That's my dog barking.
Oh, yeah. Well, stop playing those ultra-high frequencies. That's going to be a part of Make Music New York at Waterside Plaza. That's New York City on the East River at 23rd Street.
Monday,
and,
June 21st. Be there.
I live at Waterside Plaza.
So first, everybody visit Patrick.
And as I like to, as I like to tell my friends, why Waterside Plaza? And I said, well, as I get older, I'm trying to masquerade laziness with efficiency. Uh-huh. So I thought it's very efficient that all I have to do for Make Music New York, because I have a lot of gear, just bring all the gear straight downstairs on carts and set up, and then we just play. And we have a built-in audience of all the people that live there, plus all the people that are coming, you know, just to show up, because they're going to like the fact that it's 9 people for performing.
There's total. A lot of people there.
5 of them are composers. Myself. Yourself, Das Noise Punk, a.k.a. Gene Pritzker.
Das Noise Punk, that's a new one.
I'm sorry.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Who else we have? We got Dan Cooper.
Dan Cooper.
We Joseph Pearson. Who was the last guest
on
the
Pearson,
show?
Joe Pearson. Kamala Sankaram.
Kamala, great. That's 5, right? Do we miss somebody?
And that's 5. Okay. And then the fleshing out the ensemble performing. Lynn Bechtold on violin. Ensemble members of my group, and have performed, well, Maria Illich on keyboard, and John Ferrari, who's played with a number of you folks.
Yes, conducted my bassoon concerto and played with me.
And New York City's own downtown diva, Kathleen Sapovi, on keyboard.
Go, Kathleen. A mutual friend of all of us.
And that's our Nonet.
Our Nonet, yes, indeed. Well, now that we've whetted your appetite. Patrick, What music do you have for us? What would you like to show?
Oh, let me set up this clip. I think this is the part of the film where I discovered my wife of 5 years was secretly born John Crawford. No, I'm sorry. This
is music.
This is music you want.
What's happening here?
As far as music clips, I thought I'd start out with something that was an early piece of mine. I wrote for a theater company. It's an opera, and we took it on tour all over Europe. I think it's had about 160 performances
in
the last 3 years.
It was based on a text of George Washington. He wrote 110 rules of civility and decent behavior in company and conversation.
Really?
And this particular section is just about the rules of how to eat at the table. And while the people are genteelly singing about these rules, the ensemble is going through all kinds of the horrors of war kind of stagings. Sort of a food fight metaphor. It would. But I'm picking this clip because it probably shows, it gave me a chance, this opera, to put it in as a period piece. It was a chance to make it a Baroque opera. So I have a lot of Baroque stylings in this opera. And that was sort of my bridge from the switched on Bach times into these modern times. I think I was working for John Cage during the day.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
oh,
while
cool.
we were doing this. So, nice. But this is very much, this is not like John Cage at all. But anyways, this is scene 6 from The Rules of Civility.
Announce it,
music of Patrick Grant here.
That's track 7.
Here on Noise Punk and Das Crooner.
Check it out.
Table. Unless it is your proper place, unless it is your proper place,
or if the master of the heart dirty, wipe them on a napkin. Keep your fingers clean and when they're dirty, wipe them on a napkin.
And he doesn't resolve it to the sea, no, but ending on a dominant there. Rules of Civility by our guest Patrick Grant here on Noise Punk and Das Crooner.
What the hell was going on? That was really scary.
That was 20 years ago.
Okay. that was bizarre. Now, and Charles learned something. Charles learned how to eat at the table. Thank you, Patrick. We needed this.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
He's really quite awful, I tell you.
Yeah.
So
you look in the mirror lately, Gene.
Oh,
anyway,
Jesus Christ,
I ain't gonna help you.
Okay. The inside of Charles' brain.
There's a subtle joke in there somewhere.
That's
you figure
subtle.
It out.
That was inside your
and
brain.
If you figure out what it is, you'll win $10 million.
All right, Patrick. Perhaps what's next? You got us all intrigued. Now we want to know what else happens.
Well, after doing that, the one reason that got me attracted to the Living Theater. That's the theater that produced this. There's a lot of people, they've had a long history, like decades. So when somebody says they like the theater, you have to ask them, which Living Theater are you talking about?
I see.
Because they started out, you know, New York Downtown Innovators. Then they became, you know, the Hippie Living Theater, then the Street Living Theater, and then back to New York.
They kept on living, though, so that's good.
I was intrigued by the early Living Theater that attracted John Cage, Lou Harrison, mm-hmm. Alan Hovhaness, putting on their first concerts there. In fact, John Cage's Silence is dedicated to them.
The best of
the very beginning. Mm. So I thought I could sort of, you know, raise the bar. But after working with them in my late 20s, I figured that was enough tutelage. That was working with Judith Malina was my connection, you know, in terms of not legacy, but yeah, legacy, you know, to all these people.
Right, lineage, right, right. You know? Yeah, lineage. Yeah, definitely. It's great.
But I had enough of that, you know, because the Living Theater was very, it's uneven. You know, they really, and if you walk in the door, you remember the company. So I want to get back to music. And one of the things that interested me a lot was the gamelan music.
Gamelan, yeah.
And exploring alternative tunings.
Nice. Mm.
So over the course of the mid-90s to the late 90s, I did three periods of study in Bali. Because I love the Balinese music because it's polyphonic. It's not improvised. All the parts are clearly written out to bring out hocketing and a lot of interlocking parts that, to this day, in all my pieces, I write pieces that are sort of a community music. There's like a lot of virtuoso parts for the people that can really play.
Right.
And there's also some pretty simple parts for people who can like flesh out the ensemble and plug into. And that has been all a part of this. So when I got back from Bali, I started writing some pieces for microtonal keyboard and gamelan.
Cool.
So this is one of those pieces. That would be track 3.
Which is called?
What is it called, Patrick?
It's called Fields Amaze.
Wow. And that could, when it comes to microtonal music, it certainly does amaze.
Well, actually, I thought it was sort of corny because it turned out to be a big hit just because it had like an easily graspable structure. So I thought, so being corny, I was thinking Fields of Maze.
Right.
Yes, but I just called it Fields Amaze.
Amazing Fields.
Probably the first people ever told that, you know. But
hey, what's the exact ensemble? It's
the ensemble is, you really can't.
So it's like just a big gamelan with a
I have these large 88 weighted keyboards and
right.
great sample libraries because I'm able to tune them to different tunings.
Right, right.
So I'm using my Korg Triton grand piano samples that are tuned to a combination of Slendro and Pelog tuning.
Oh, I like that. I don't know those. I got to learn those. You got to teach me.
And then,
I'm studying gamelan with you.
And then the gamelan ensemble is members of Gamelan Son of Lion.
A gamelan
that was built by Barbara Benari. And
yeah, they've been around, Son of Lion. Yeah,
yeah, the founding members were Barbara Benari, Dan Good, and Philip Corner.
Uh-huh. I don't know them.
Yeah.
But that sounds interesting.
They're like the Burlington generation.
I see,
coming out of Vermont in the 70s.
Oh, really?
Wow.
Whole Earth Catalog kind of folk, but fantastic. but in the tradition of Lou Harrison, you know, building your own gamelan.
I like that gamelan shit. In fact, one of the pieces we're playing on this concert on June 21st of mine is called Deep Time, which has a little bit of that gamelan kind of sound.
Right.
Which has like 5 notes that everybody kind of plays and hock it on top of each other.
Mm-hmm.
As well as some of those... some of Patrick's music that has a lot of that influence, from what I could tell.
A lot of interlocking parts. Configuration.
Yes, from what I could tell. I haven't heard it yet. We haven't rehearsed yet. taping, but...
We can only hope it will go well.
Yes, but it's going to be incredible.
This
so
one's
be
like
there.
8 and change.
Huh?
This one's like 8 and change.
$8 and you owe us some money.
That's right.
Okay, Charles, say it.
Fields Amaze by our guest Patrick Grant here on Noise Punk and Das Crooner. Thank you. Yeah, indeed. Fields Amaze by our guest Patrick Grant here on Noise Punk and Das Crooner.
Nice.
That worked.
That
good
rocked. Stuff,
good stuff, man.
Thank you. Thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah, yeah.
That little F at the end that reminds you, this is my like Mr. Blue Sky moment or something.
Well, that was kind of hot, yo.
I'm not a big microtonal music fan, but I gotta say that was one of the better ones I've heard. It's pretty good, pretty darn good.
Well, just like, you know, when I've done serial music, working with microtonal music, I like to find all the consonant harmonies within it that
right,
I can
right,
and
right.
still stick with the rules. So yeah. One of the things that you're not supposed to do in gamelan is, you know, try to find triads that work.
Oh, really?
And within that tuning, mm-hmm. there's some triads that work better than others, and the ones that don't work as well, that's just, you know, just a little bit of extra flavor in that dissonance. So yeah. I just work with it.
There I think, go. Yeah, there but it went well. It worked well as a piece, and that's really what's the all the rules and all the. That's all fine, but it's, you know, writing a piece of music is what we're talking about here in general, always as composers. So
agreed,
and you've succeeded.
Thank you.
You have succeeded,
and you have succeeded.
You may now go to the next level.
The next level. What is the next level, Patrick?
The next level is trying to take that gamelan technique and apply it towards a combination of Western instruments and rock and roll instruments. There was a film mm-hmm. that I loved called Psychomania, a horror film from the early 70s. There was a 62 Psychomania that didn't work, but this particular film had sort of a rock score to it mm-hmm. that I really liked, you know, as a kid, and actually... remember, like, things you like as a kid? Now we can torrent everything and find everything, and you look
yep.
at it, and you're like, oh, God, that wasn't so good at all. kid. But this actually stood up. It was a story about a sort of a Clockwork Orangey kind of takeoff of its day.
Back to Clockwork Orange.
Yes, about a motorcycle gang, and the leader of the motorcycle gang's mother was a witch, and he discovered the secret to immortality, is that you have to kill yourself. But when you kill yourself, you have to really, 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 really believe that you are going to come back. Mm-hmm. When you do that, you will come back. Because most people kill themselves, they have no intention of coming back.
That's right.
Yeah.
Right.
So that was the trick. And so they had all this cool soundtrack. So this is what I call a music for an imaginary horror film.
Uh-huh.
And I think this is the second half of it. The sections are, I think we start off with the graveyard. And then we pick up the hitchhiker. And then we take the hitchhiker back to the place. And
you gotta have a hitchhiker.
Evil experiments involving scalpels and other things.
Mm-hmm. Scalpels are very important in horror.
And then we take out the trash, and then it has sort of like a carry with the hand shooting out of the grave kind of ending.
All right.
This is sort of my is it peon or peon? How would you say?
I would say peon.
I would say this is my peon to all the
who
black and
what?
White late night horror films I grew up watching as a kid.
And what is this called?
This is the second half to. Imaginary horror film.
That's what it's called. Okay.
Music right. for imaginary horror film.
For 13 musicians.
13 musicians. And there's like...
Of course, 13.
Of course, it's got That's not horror at all. Sorry, I can't find a horror sound.
There you go.
Yeah.
I found my horror sound. I won't let it go. Charles, announce it.
Music for an imaginary horror film. By Patrick Grant here on Noise Punk and Das Crooner!
Thank you.
Indeed. Music for an imaginary horror film by our guest, Patrick Grant, here on Noise Punk and Dust Crew. We should mention again that that was written for 13 instrumentalists.
Charles. If I was insane, would I laugh like this?
This crooner,
don't give up your day job.
This crooner, can you hold my hand? I'm scared. No, that's not my hand.
Oh.
Get away.
Ah. Those aren't pillows.
All right. Now, Charles, you're screaming into the mic, and there's red everywhere.
Well, that's your problem.
Son of a
bitch. Maybe you have a screwed up system.
I'll kill you.
Yeah.
I'll cut you. Now I'm really violent. After that piece, I really am a little violent. Let me get my knives.
All right.
We move on from horror to love.
No. Yeah, the sublime. We lighten things up a little bit here.
A little bit.
One of the things I've been doing is presenting a lot of concerts. I figure this is a good community building thing. This began back in 1989. I had a concert series called, when I was working at C.F. Peters, so a lot of composers. Mm-hmm. Who are more tonally oriented than old Fort Dodecaphonic, as we used to call
it. Dodecaphonic!
Right.
We got together, we did a, at the Lower East Side Theater companies, because they're so, you know, willing to let us come in and, you know, do that kind of stuff. And that was called the Silent Treatment, you know, that was the name of that group. And then, of course, presenting concerts at the Living Theater after that. And so I started getting back to concert promoting, and one of these things, I was doing was the 1-2-3 Go concert series at art galleries.
I had a piece in one of the 1-2-3 Goes.
Yes, Margaret Lancaster.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah,
I think that was the first time I met you physically.
Yeah, I think so.
And I think the boy was in a stroller at that time.
Oh, was he? Yeah, I brought Sebastian. Maybe.
Well, he was sort of big.
Sorry, go ahead.
One of those things where, and I know the kids at the age, like, you know, he's going to give out sooner or later, so it's just easier to have the stroller on hand just in case.
Yeah, of course.
Curse the body around. But continuing my association with theaters and all that, I was also working with a lot of visual artists, and I'm being an old string player. I do write a lot for strings, and one of the wackier gigs I had, there's a young artist whose career is just phenomenally, you know, blown up. He must be in his early 30s now, but he's a young black oil painter out of Los Angeles, and he's done a lot of work with Deitch Projects here. And Deitch Projects commissioned me to write music for his openings.
Mm-hmm.
This painter's thing was he would get classical paintings, you know, from the Renaissance and from the Baroque era, and he would find street guys, you know, hip-hop black guys that he'd find on the street,
right,
and then put them in those poses and then recreate those.
That's cool.
Nice.
Huge paintings.
Who is this person?
His name is Kehinde Wiley.
Mm.
And so just in the same way that he would have me write, in the same way that his paintings were, you know, flipping that around, he wanted me to get well-known hip-hop tunes and then arrange them classically in a Baroque style. And it was good for me because it was good commissioning money from some of the biggest art galleries around the nation. And it was just doing what I do. And I thought I would just play this one because
it was
sort of fun. This one's played by members of a string octet called the Young Eight.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, I think, sort of a hip-hop medley.
Oh, it's a bunch of hip-hop tunes that you...
Yeah, I mashed them up together because...
Mash
I
up!
I found out there's, you know, with stripped of the rap to do it as instrumental, there's not a lot there sometimes, so I had to go for pieces that had a really recognizable hook.
Melody
or
something,
that could stand up on its own.
Right.
So
not like, I am getting so hot, I want to take my clothes off. Like,
well, one of the singers
that's a big one. That's
woman,
an easy one.
A man named Shaquita, we did a version of Milkshake, you know.
Oh, geez.
All come to the yard. They're like, it's better than yours. We got recordings of that, too. But wow. I thought I would just stick with the instrumental version.
Let's hear it. Yes. Let's do it.
I think this is a live performance that was at Robertson Tilton Gallery in Los Angeles.
Cool.
And
what is it called, the whole thing? The piece? Is there a name for the piece?
There's various suites, but mm-hmm. Kehinde Wiley described his music as sort of a historical black roller coaster.
Okay.
So I think this is historical black roller coaster suite number 2.
All right. Let's hear it.
Movement.
by Patrick Grant, our guest here on Noise Punk and Das Crooner.
And various hip-hop artists, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's a theme. It's a theme and variation, so you don't need. Yeah, you don't need to say the version. Exactly. Yeah.
On Noise Punk and Das Crooner. Hip-Hop Experience Part 3 by our guest, Patrick Grant.
Are you experienced?
Yeah, I threw that in just for some fun to show you, you know, it's not all just, you know, pain and suffering.
Not all the
tone. Yeah.
Okay, if you email us and name every song that Patrick arranged there in that string arrangement, you will win a blind date with Charles Coleman.
Yeah, you know.
And the reason it's blind because you will be blind after you have this day.
Oh!
Oh! You will
you
self-
suck!
You'll self-blind yourself after you see this, man. Yeah, oh, no, that's geez. Not good.
Wait till you see his white cane.
That's not a cape. All right.
You guys are in cahoots. Come on. Anyway.
So, Patrick.
Yes.
Let's bring the suck around. Where are we going now, y'all?
We're going to bring it around. Doing a lot of, film work these days. I'm glad I hear a show on TV like the themes that they use for Law and Order, and that's got to be some of the cheesiest synth sounds in the world, man.
But as Mike Post, man, well, at least he wrote the theme.
$2 billion.
Dum dum. In case you're wondering.
Yeah, he wrote that little bum bum, and that's it. He's a billionaire. But I think he probably doesn't score the shows, right?
I don't think so.
I think like he comes up with the theme and he has like a little team now.
There's no way he's gonna sit there like, because most of the scoring for those shows these days are just like whatever, like at lower. Like,
yeah. I wanna.
And it's usually just two, and two lines of strings, bass.
Oh, yeah.
And high violins, so it's not gonna step on any of the talking.
He's about to confess
during the last 10 minutes. Especially
the confession cue.
But here's a combination of two cues. One is for a film about Marines in a military brig, and that's called The Brig, and that's paired with the music from a play I did down in Brazil. I've been working a lot in Brazil.
Nice.
This is for the theater director, and good friend of mine, Gerald Thomas, and this is one of the pieces we'll be playing on H2 Opus of a different arrangement thereof. But anyways, this is sort of like, I would call it Brig/Bateman. That's a cue from a film and from a theater piece.
Nice.
Bateman.
Bateman.
Like you, Master Bateman, but this is just Bateman.
Gerald's work often has lots of puns, because to pronounce, because the guy's like strung up like a piece of bait in like a dungeon almost, and then of course, like the Italian and Latin root, if you say it in Portuguese, bati or bachi means to hit something.
Oh.
and starts out, lots of puns there. But nonetheless, the music is the music.
By Patrick Grant, our guest here on Noise Punk and Dust Crooner.
Now everybody listen to this and ponder it.
Yeah.
Rig and Bateman Medley by our guest, Patrick Grant, here on Noise Punk and Dust Crooner.
Yeah, baby, rocking it.
Yeah, and a reminder, we'll be playing that Bateman piece at the H2 Opus concert on June 21st at Waterside Plaza as part of Make Music New York.
Be there. A lot of excitement. Whole lot of action.
This Monday.
We're going to break hard. It's going to be great, I'm telling you. I'm going to wear something nice. Okay, I'm not.
A Speedo? I hope not.
Charles wants me to wear a Speedo. Patrick, I think we would like to hear one more piece to take us out, or at least not to take us out, but as a kind of a period on the whole show that we did.
That sounds good, because I got things to do.
He's got shit to do. You see what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty busy getting ready for the H2 Opus concert at Waterside Plaza.
Segway into plugging. Plug.
We're going to be doing a live version of this electronic rendering you're going to hear right now called Lucid Intervals. I performed this, premiered it, wrote it for the Composer's Concordance.
Oh, yes.
Composers Play Composers Marathon that took place on June 31st at Drome.
No doubt, we
in
were
the
all
East
on
Village.
It.
Mm. I remember one of the requirements was it has to be 4 minutes long. And I know how these things, producing concerts myself, can snowball. Everybody wants to do like maybe 5 minutes.
Right, somebody. Absolutely.
So I stuck to the clock. I mean, I think this recording is 3 minutes and 59 seconds.
Not bad. You got a second to spare.
But we're doing a live version with extended solos by Lynn Bechtold on violin. I wrote her sections and all that, and we can just loop it as we see fit and play it live. But this impetus of this piece came from doing something that also involved video. I think it was just around the end of the year. They're talking about famous celebrities who died. They always do in December or just after the New Year.
Right.
And they're talking about Miranda Richardson, who bumped her head, and then she had a lucid interval in her skiing accident, where everybody thought she was okay. But actually, that was the time to get her to the hospital. And she ended up, so I like this term, lucid intervals, because musical intervals.
Right.
So I just put that into the YouTube search engine, and it kicked me back all these different videos that were related to that medical condition, different brain scans, musical intervals, etc. And I thought, that's sort of cool. I mean, I'm finding out too that if I create a piece of music, that a lot more people are inclined to listen to it if there's also something to look at, if I put it on the web.
Yeah, that definitely
helps. Right.
So that's how I've been generating videos these days. I'm just letting the video auto-generate itself by finding a fancy title and seeing what YouTube kicks back and putting what I like.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the version that was performed, just me, Soul Electronics. But like I said, we're doing it with our no net of musicians at Make Music New York. This is Lucid Intervals.
By our guest, Patrick Grant, here on Noise Punk and Das Crooner.
Thank you.
Indeed. Lucid Intervals by our guest Patrick Grant here on Noise Punk and Dust Crooner.
Yes, very nice. I remember that piece. We were all there. Charles was there. Patrick was there. And you know who else was there?
Joseph Pearson! Oh,
and
my God.
Just happened to pass. Hi, Joseph.
Hey,
say hello.
Hey, dudes. You know, I dropped in. I looks a little bit like Noise Punk and Dust Crooner here.
Wait, is that Joe Pearson or Dan Barrett? I can't tell.
I see Noise Punk and Dust Crooner.
Yeah. We're all here, and we have Patrick Grant here, and we had a great show. Patrick, any other plugs before you go? Your website type of thing? You know, whatever.
Yeah, got two addresses. Take you to the same place. PatrickGrant.com, but I also came up with StrangeMusic.com because sometimes people are more inclined to remember that. And if you go there, you'll find links to all other kinds of media, upcoming events, and all other kinds of mischief. Just make sure you delete your cache before you leave.
Delete your cache. Let me do a couple of really quick plugs. Again, H2 Opus on Monday, June 21st.
2010.
7 p.m. 2010, indeed. Please don't come in 2011 because it's going to be...
There'll
be a different concert. Also Patrick with something else.
Yeah.
And on June 25th, Sound Liberation, my band will be, in 2010, will be having a release party at Drome for my album VRE Suite.
Drome.
So come out there. That's also 7. It's going to be Sound Liberation and Franz Hackl's Ido, another band made up of a bunch of guys who play with Miles Davis, actually. So it's going to be a crazy show. June 25th, 2010.
Yes.
Drome, June 21st, Waterside Plaza, Monday. That's all the concerts we have. Go to Patrick's website, check out some new sounds. Patrick, thank you very much for being here.
Thank you, but I must go home now. There's no place. I'll miss you, Charles.
Oh.
I'll miss you, Joe. I'll miss you, Gene.
This is like the MTV
But Cribs, I think, right? Scarecrow, I'm going to miss you most of all.
Oh, boy. Thank you, Patrick. And I think, what is that?
Is that? Yes, it is. It's the theme music.
Oh, man, it sounds good.
And I'll do it until next time. Noise to you!
Noise Punk and the Schooner. Noise Punk.